Hey, it's Brooke.
Hello. Hey, Brooke.
Hi, Brooke. Hey.
It's Rob and Shannon, and I think Karen. And
Karen.
That would be it.
Hi, Karen. Hi, Rob and Shannon.
Hi, Brooke. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Dina got off to start the recording, so probably another couple minutes we can get started.
I thought we were just supposed to be on 5 minutes before, so that's why I don't want to wait.
How are you doing? Welcome.
Hi, it's Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi. Hi, Julie.
We got Rob, Shannon, Brooke, and Karen, and Julie.
Good memory.
Don't ask me to do it again.
Dina, or Julie, Dina got off to start the recording, so we could start in a couple minutes.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Welcome. Hello.
Hey, can you guys hear me still?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, good. I put in my headphones.
We're going to start in a few minutes.
Why don't we go a little bit after 8?
We
got one minute.
Let's do 1 minute, and then you can do the introduction.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, Brooke, if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Brooke. I am in Ohio, and I'm a adult regional coordinator for Region 5. Sorry, a little backwards here. All the social distancing, you know. Okay, so tonight is about anxiety and PTSD, and we have the wonderful Karen Agricola, ACRN, FMCDC. Karen has been one of the advanced practice registered nurses or nurse practitioners for the Cincinnati Children's Tuberculosis Clinic since 2007. She helps coordinate initial and follow-up visits for our patients who are seen at our TSC clinic. She works closely with the TSC doctors and specialists, pulmonary nephrology, psychiatry, radiology, cardiology, genetics, social work, and plastic surgery to modify treatment and to address our patients' questions or concerns between office visits. Karen sees patients for follow-up visits in clinic, whether the visit is for clinical care or for research. The TSC clinic team meets weekly to plan for our patients' upcoming visits, discuss new developments in research and medical management, and how we can improve our treatment strategies for our patients. She has earned bachelor's degree in science, nursing, BSN at the University of Cincinnati in 1984, and then earned her master's degree in science and nursing, MSN, as a family nurse practitioner at the University of Kentucky in 1990. She has a broad clinical background from intensive care to family practice primary care for all ages as well as neurology. She is one of the sub-investigators for the research trial that resulted in FDA approval of the mTOR inhibitor, efinaconazole, everolimus, for the treatment of SIGA and complex partial epilepsy and tuberculosis complex. Thank you, Karen, for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you for the nice introduction. Before we talk about anxiety, I wanted to do a little bit of a TSC review. So we're all on the same page as we start talking about anxiety. So TSC's underlying genetic cause results in the possibility of many physical manifestations. In the brain, there's tubers and nodules and sega. In kidneys, there's the angiomyolipomas that occur in 80% of people with TS, and cysts that occur in 50%, and renal cell carcinoma, which is rare. In the lungs, there's a 50% incidence of LAM, more so in women who have renal AML or uterine TSC lesion. And there's also a possibility of pulmonary nodules developing. In the heart, there's a 50% incidence of cardiac rhabdomyomas when children are born with TSC. Skin can be affected with angiofibromas, Ashley's macule, Sjögren's patches, plaques, and ungual fibromas. Teeth pitting is very common, 100% incidence in people with TS. And retinal hamartomas, there's a 50% incidence. These physical manifestations tend to occur at different times throughout the lifespan. Early on, you tend to see the benign cardiac tumors because those occur, you know, in utero, basically, and then they resolve as the baby grows older, and the brain tumors, as well as emergence of epilepsy or cognitive deficits. In early childhood, you tend to see more of the Ashley's macules, angiofibromas, Sjögren's patches and plaques, and as well as the dental pitting. In childhood, you will see the emergence of the retinal hamartomas in the eye, and then in later in childhood, in the teen years, you'll see the renal angiomyolipomas, but they can occur sooner than that. And in adulthood, you'll see the LAM and the pulmonary nodules if they're going to occur. So TSC and its manifestations can be highly variable, even when inherited in family members with the same genetic mutation. These physical manifestations require surveillance with regular physical examinations by your TSC provider, as well as imaging. So the neurologic or manifestation is what we're going to be talking mostly about today. And they include SEGA, which occurs in 10 to 20% of people, usually in childhood or adolescence is when you notice those, or it can be more problematic. Epilepsy can occur in 90% of individuals at some point in their lifetime. ADHD has a prominence of greater than 50% and is sometimes associated with challenges in regulating emotions. Intellectual disabilities occur in about 50%, and autism occurs in up to 68%. So the brain with TSC has tubers that affect the neural connections or communications between nerves, which are trying to help the brain manage emotions, make sense of social cues in the environment, organize thoughts, and determine appropriate responses in social situations. Difficulties or challenges in these areas also need to have surveillance. TAND, which I'm sure you've all heard of, is an acronym for TS-associated neuropsychiatric disorders, of which anxiety is one. So 90% of individuals with TSC are challenged by TAND features to some extent during their lifetime, 90%. These disorders can be the greatest burden for individuals who have TSC. Recent efforts in the TSC community have been made to improve TSC providers' consistent treatment for them. The TSC TAND paradigms are neurocognition, which includes intellectual disabilities, development and behavior, which includes autism and social impairment, and mental health, which includes mood disorders like anxiety. The four highest rated psychiatric challenges for those with TSC are depression, which can occur in up to 43%, anxiety, which can occur in up to 56%, ADHD up to 86%, aggressive disruptive behaviors up to 56%, but anxiety and depression are the most common psychiatric diagnoses in adults with TSC.
anxiety is a way for our bodies to warn us against danger, part of the fight or flight response when in a particular situation. But anxiety can become problematic or pathologic when it is excessive and uncontrollable. So the definition of anxiety is the presence of excessive anxiety and worry about a variety of topics, events, or activities. And the worry occurs more often than not for at least 6 months. The anxiety and worry are associated with at least three of the following physical or cognitive symptoms, which are edginess or restlessness, tiring easily or being more fatigued than usual, impaired concentration, irritability, increased muscle aches or soreness, and difficulty sleeping. Anxiety disorders encompass a broad group of syndromes, including panic disorder, agoraphobia, which is fear of places and situations that might cause panic, feelings of helplessness or embarrassment, social phobia, or other phobias like of spiders, different things like that, and obsessive-compulsive disorder, which is unreasonable thoughts and fears or obsessions that lead to compulsive behaviors, like the classic example is fear of germs leads to excessive hand washing. Post-traumatic stress syndrome is a type of anxiety. Generalized anxiety disorder is chronic, irrational, and excessive worry about everyday life events and activities. Each anxiety disorder causes the person who has it a significant distress and interferes with his or her daily functioning. Regardless if someone has TSP, the incidence of mental illness is higher in one who has epilepsy. So mental illness occurs in 75% of those with epilepsy and only 38% of those without epilepsy, even if someone doesn't have TSP. In addition, the treatment of epilepsy may cause the same symptoms as the symptoms of anxiety that we reviewed earlier. For example, edginess or restlessness can be caused by, not all the time, but it can be caused by Keffra. Tiring easily or being more fatigued than usual can be caused by Depakote and Trileptal. Impaired concentration can be caused by Tokamak. Difficulty sleeping can be caused by Feldenkrais. The Tuberous Sclerosis Registry to Increase Disease Awareness, and the acronym for that is TOSCA, is an international registry designed to address knowledge gaps in the natural history and management of TSC. About 2,000 patients are enrolled in the registry and have ages ranging from birth to 71 years old. Epilepsy is present in 84% of those in the registry, with over 75 presenting with their first seizure before the age of 2 years old. The TOSCA mental health data include anxiety, being diagnosed at the average age of 18 years and occurs slightly more in women than men. Depression is typically diagnosed at age 24 years. In women greater than men. So there's a 60, there was, with this registry, there was a 65% incidence in women and a 35% incidence in men. There were higher rates of anxiety, depression, mood swings, obsessions, psychoses, and hallucinations in the adults with TSC in the registry. 30 to 50% of patients in this registry reported that TAND was diagnosed late in their lives, are not even ever evaluated. In 2015, the TAN checklist was presented after the neuropsychiatric panel at the 2012 TSC International Consensus Conference expressed concern about the lack of identification and treatment of TAN in individuals with TSC. So accompanying education about TAN and the checklist was also intended to improve consistency of terminology used to describe the biopsychosocial difficulties that people with TSC have. And the purpose of that is so we all communicate. When I say a word, you know what the word, we both know what the word means in the same way. And, you know, psychiatrists know, and you know, and we all know what the terminology means by having it in a more consistent manner. PAN checklist was designed to help screen and increase awareness of these challenges for the person who has TSC. So that individual and their provider, whether it be their physician, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, can begin a conversation about PAN and move forward with its management. TSC clinic providers should ask individuals with TSC to complete a PAN checklist at least annually. Then the provider reviews the completed PAN checklist with the individual, and if anxiety is indicated to be a concern, should explore it more thoroughly with the individual during the office visit and then recommend appropriate management. Another assessment tool that can be helpful is a neuropsychology evaluation, which is a thorough assessment to describe the strengths and weaknesses of an individual's brain system used to learn and think and regulate behavior. Deficits are described and recommendations of resources for management of them are included in the evaluation, so it can be helpful too. Of course, the PAN checklist should not be taken into consideration by itself. Other history and physical evaluations are warranted to make sure that something else is not contributing to the individual's feeling of anxiety or its symptoms. Other testing may be pursued, like an MRI brain, to see if there's something new going on there in the kidneys, to see if there's a lesion that's maybe bleeding and causing the person to be anemic and hence fatigued. EEG to make sure that there's not any brain irritability caused by seizure activity that could be contributing to the person's feelings. Echocardiogram or EKG to see if there's any irregular heartbeats that are contributing to the person's feeling of anxiety. And checking labs to make sure that there's nothing else going on, like, you know, toxic drug levels or thyroid problems or just other things that could make someone feel anxious or contribute to those other symptoms like being tired. If somebody has a vagal nerve stimulator, that needs to be assessed to see if there's something wrong with it that's causing them to feel uncomfortable. The consequences of untreated anxiety include sleep difficulty, which could result in many issues, including increased risk for seizures in those who have epilepsy. And one of the symptoms of anxiety is sleep difficulty, too. So other consequences include poor integration of new knowledge, social difficulties, and behavioral outbursts, which makes pursuits of higher education, participation in job training, and relationships with family and friends really difficult. You can get a copy of the TAN checklist or at least look at it on the TS Alliance website, which is packed full of information, but there's a whole section related to TAN, and within it, you can see that there's a link where you can click on that, and the TAN checklist opens up. And if you're able to, you could print it and fill it out and take it to your next visit, or else they should have, you know, your TS clinic should have a copy for you there to complete. We actually have an electronic version in our clinic that the individual or parent completes on a tablet, and so that information can be reviewed with the individual and their provider to see if there's a concern. So as far as treatment of anxiety, treatment can begin with a primary care doctor or a TSC provider. So we have patients in our clinic that come from all over the country. And if somebody has significant anxiety, oftentimes it's best or so it's nice to have a local provider as well as, you know, somebody in the TS clinic where we are. Referral to psychiatry is warranted if the individual with TSC is not responding to treatment or has a complicated history, making the selection of the appropriate treatment more difficult. As far as medications, seizure medications. So if someone has epilepsy and they also have anxiety, using an anti-epileptic medication that has mood stabilization properties can be very efficient, where you can use one medicine to treat two things. Examples of seizure meds that can do that are Lamictal, Triloxal, and Depakote, for example. SSRIs or selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors are probably the most common medication used to treat anxiety. They increase the serotonin level, which is calming to the brain. Individuals with generalized anxiety may feel a positive effect at lower doses of an SSRI, possibly in 2 to 4 weeks, whereas treatment of anxiety that is accompanied by OCD oftentimes requires higher doses that are achieved incrementally over a longer period of time with assessment pieces in between. Norepinephrine and dopamine inhibitors like bupropion or Wellbutrin increase the amount of norepinephrine and dopamine in the brain, and that's how they help the brain feel better. This medication is a good choice if the individual is not a good candidate for treatment with an SSRI. And that might be because of a personal or family history of bipolar disorder or manic depression, because an SSRI used in that situation, if somebody is genetically predisposed to bipolar disorder or manic depression, the SSRI can unmask that and make it appear and make it, and that would not be comfortable at all. Long-acting or the SR preparation of the bupropion or Wellbutrin is the medication that we use in our clinic, because the short-acting preparation can increase the risk for seizures in those who have epilepsy. Wellbutrin is used more for the treatment of depression than anxiety, but our psychiatrist uses it for anxiety too sometimes. And it can be helpful for smoking cessation. If somebody smokes, this can help reduce, along with other strategies, can help reduce one's appetite for nicotine. Atypical antipsychotics like Abilify may be used in conjunction with an SSRI or bupropion to augment their effects, or they could be used alone. We usually avoid benzodiazepines if possible, as they can be a CNS depressant. They can make you feel depressed and can cause tolerance, requiring higher doses of that benzo over time to achieve the same effect. And we also like to reserve those for seizure rescue medication in people that have epilepsy. So that being said, the exception to the rule of not using them is that clonazepam. Information or that therapist information about TSC, and actually oftentimes we go to the TS Alliance website to get information to send them or refer them to the TS Alliance website, which is so helpful. Therapy can be very helpful. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, refers to a therapy that helps to become more aware of inaccurate or negative thinking, so one can view challenging situations more clearly and accurately in order to respond to them in a more effective way. Support groups can be very helpful, or just even, you know, maybe not an official support group of people you don't know, but just in chatting with somebody at an office visit and helping them identify people that are supportive to them and making sure that they remain connected to them or become connected to them or coach them to be connected to them. Having support, you know, all of us need to have support in everything that we do. Exercising on a regular basis, you know, just doing your favorite thing. It can be walking, riding a bicycle, jogging. You don't have to go to a gym to exercise. And right now we're not supposed to be going to gyms anyway. So just any form of exercise, getting outside, in nature, just being outside, especially now we're all cooped up. Being outside is a very good natural antidepressant and anti-anxiety medicine. Social connection, like we talked about. And this time with COVID, we have to find other ways to maintain that so we don't get sad or anxious. And making sure that you have good sleep. we all need to make sure that we have good sleep, because if we don't, it just can cause so many problems. So I'd like to take a moment now to thank my colleague, Dr. Jamie Capel, for her help with this talk. And then I'd like to open it up to questions. Anybody have any questions, comments?
This is Brooke. I'll chime in real quick. So I've met with you for lots of years now. I don't know how many. So also thank you for all the information. It's very helpful. I know you guys have told me more times, like, make sure you exercise, get out, do something for yourself, you know, just going through it as a parent and with a child with TSC. As much as I can, since I've been off work and been home, I've tried to make a schedule or a routine. I have joined a virtual workout program. It's like $40 for 6 weeks, and you do it like 3 days a week. And then on the off days, I try to get on the Peloton or go for a walk or do something. If the time allows, there's a lot more going on at home than there was before it all started. But I know that it definitely does help my mental health, and I can tell when I'm not doing those things, my mood and my reactions are quicker and more irritable than I'd like them to be. So it absolutely does help me personally a lot to do those things that you guys have suggested, and to just try to keep as much of a routine as possible. I know it's kind of, you know, impossible. Sometimes you think when you're home you have all this time, and I never knew what it was like. I worked all the time, but we have my niece here, has legal guardianship of her, and then Rain has some behaviors and just different things with school and homeschooling, and, you know, all this kind of change. You're like, you're not used to it, so it's just kind of a new schedule, and you've got to kind of give yourself that time if you can and if you're allowed. But even just a walk or getting outside helps a lot.
Right. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you figured that out, and I'm glad that it really helps you. And you are absolutely right about routine. I think routine, having a routine and knowing what's going to happen from day to day or, you know, during a block time is a very calming, gives you a calming feeling, like you're in control. So that is a very good tip, that we should all have routines. Try and get up at the same time every day, go to bed at the same time every day, making sure you eat breakfast, lunch, and supper, or, you know, those are just examples of routines. But, you know, with you, especially with that is a very good example, with the children at home, it's very important to keep them on a routine for them, but also for you. So, and I'm so glad that you've been able to find time for yourself and exercise, and that it helps you. Exercise actually increases, so the body is just so cool. It increases these natural occurring substances, and Keflins and endorphins, I think is what it is, and Keflins, and I think those are the two things. When we exercise, those things increase, and they actually help reduce chronic pain, too. They're actually pain-fighting substances. So so it's not just you doing it and check the box and that's why you feel better. It's actually, there's actually metabolic things going on in your body when you're exercising, and that's why you feel better, too. So, awesome.
I have a quick question, Mr. Shannon. And for those that are working outside of the house that are having to work during this time, what are some strategies for anxiety? Because I know, like, when I'm getting out, especially with just the fear of everything going on right now with my mask on, and I feel kind of claustrophobic, what are some strategies or just tools to help settle when you're in that moment, you're out of the house, you're in an environment where you have to go to work or you have to do something that can help kind of calm that stress and anxiety that you're feeling?
So the first thing is a specific thing that you could do. Masks make me feel claustrophobic too, is just taking deep breaths. So you know how when we get anxious, our heart rate increases? Usually when you get anxious and you get worked up, you notice it more so sometimes than other times. Like, if, you know, if there's like a scary person running at you, then you'll notice it more. But even if, you know, we have to go out and we're worried, like what you're describing, our heart rate goes up. And when you take nice deep breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth, in through your nose, out through your mouth, and you want to take belly breaths. So you don't want to just inhale to make your lungs expand. in through your nose, out through your mouth. You want to take a deep enough breath that you're making your diaphragm, which is that muscle underneath your lungs, expand enough that your belly is like going out. So it's called belly breathing. And you can so that is something that is very calming. It's like your heart rate can't stay, you know, unless there's really something bad going on with your heart, but your heart rate will automatically come down and your blood pressure will come down too. And you'll just, it'll be a calming sensation. The other thing that I would suggest for all of us is to plan, you know, as best you can. So are you talking about going to work? Is that where you're going?
Well, honestly, I don't have to. I get anxiety, so I had to take my kids up to the doctor and stuff and had to wear the mask. But I have some friends that they work at, you know, fast food restaurants, and they work in different arenas where they are still at the grocery store. And they've had some anxiety. They've talked to me about the fear of having to go out and work now, even though they're classified as essential workers. So I was just thinking of some different strategies that I can even share with them in dealing with this. Because I know, once again, I get the anxiety just going out right now because we're high risk in our household. So anytime I go out, I get very anxious. But I'm just thinking about those people that they don't have a choice. They're out there and they're surrounded by all this news and the fear of what's going on. Just some different strategies that can be used to calm.
Right. So, and it would be helpful if they exercise on a regular basis, because the benefit of exercise is not just while you're exercising or right after, it's like every day. So those, you know, everybody should do that. They should make sure that, you know, if they're really worked up about it, they should talk to their employer to make sure that they're aware of all the safety strategies that are available to them. Do you know what I mean? Like if they, you know, their employer should just make sure that that person is aware of all the things that they are able to do to protect themselves. Trying to think of what else. And then us, you know, when we go places, if we just plan appropriately and make sure that, you know, we're going at a time where it's not crowded, and having a list in our hands as to what we need so we can get in and out quickly, or taking advantage of other people, you know, personal shoppers, the quick list thing at Kroger and stuff. But yeah, I mean, those people that are working at those places should be wearing masks, and they should be wearing gloves. And I don't think anybody would be offended if they, you know, take 3 steps back if you, as a patron, was too close to them. And I guess I believe that, you know, unless, you know, if they have a mask on and everybody else has a mask on, I mean, this disease is, you know, it's caused by respiratory droplets that one inspires or that one touches and then touches their eye or their nose or their mouth. So if we just make sure that we're doing all of those things, I think we're going to stay healthy. Now, some people, you know, like, you know, little children, they're not able to do that, right? But we as adults should be, and hopefully those people that are working.
Thank you.
Karen, I have a question. So I'm a hairstylist, and I'm actually so scared to, like, get selfies and go back to work, because we already follow, like, sanitation and, you know, all those kinds of rules. Like, that's part of our board, you know, like, following precautions. But there's, like, no way to blow dry your hair with gloves on. There's no way to stay 6 feet away from people. They want people to put, like, towels on their faces, so we're not, like, close to them. And then, of course, Ray and I being on a Finitor for me 11 years, for 8 now, and then I have an infant in the home now that's a month old. Like, it just scares me to death to have to, like, I don't know if I'm a carrier or, you know, or what's going on. So it's just like that fear of having to, I don't know if other people are dealing with that fear of having to go back to that look feel, be around other people, and then bring it home. And I know a lot of people, like you obviously are in the hospital, so it's different, but it's not different, but it is. But we don't have that protective gear. If there's some people, you know, that can't even get that right now, like, how do we protect ourselves from getting that close contact? And I don't need, like, going to the store. I will get groceries delivered. If we have to go out to take a baby to an appointment, that's the only reason we go. So I don't want to live in fear. However, I don't want to also subject myself to getting sick or getting someone sick. So
right.
I just don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Right. Well, no, I totally agree with you. And actually, in you know, every state's different. Every state, I think our governor is very, I think he's doing a great job. And he's being very careful with everybody. And I guess, so do you own your own salon?
So I am, so there's three girls that work in there. We're all independent contractors. However, we don't get paid unless we work. But we also, like,
yeah.
they open it all back
yeah.
up, and we have to pay our booth rent. But I'm not really, like, people are like, well, can you come to our house? Well, I'm not coming to your house either, because then you can get, like, a $2,500 fine. And our governor is being really good about it. We're definitely not in phase
yeah.
one. But I honestly am the kind of person that I'd rather just not have the money for a while and stay healthy, because I know getting sick on a finish or, you know, on any compromised medication, it's just going to be a longer time for a ringer eye, and then they're not letting people go into the hospital, and the baby's in my care, so if something happens to me, she goes to foster care. So it's just,
right.
I have so much more to think about on that end. And
yeah.
I know I'm sure there's other people with their own worries out there as well. It's just, it's not worth it to me to make a little bit of money to go get sick. So it's really
right. nice. I think it's really good for, as far as this, all this COVID stuff, is for everybody to, so for instance, in Ohio at 2:00, our governor talks, as well as the medical director for our state health department. So they have a daily news conference. And I know in Kentucky, theirs occurs at 5:00. And so every state, I'm sure, has something like that, maybe not daily, but I would encourage everybody to get their news from a reliable source like that, as well as Dr. Fauci and Dr. Burks, the team that's working with President Trump. I think it's important to listen to the experts, meaning Fauci and Birch, and, you know, whatever your state's experts are. And then the other thing that, that's been discussed as far as businesses opening, is, you know, there are things that you can do. So if you come to the hospital right now to get your labs drawn, you're greeted by a nurse who has a mask, and she has you wash your hands with hand sanitizer, give you a mask, and they ask you those questions. They ask you the COVID questions. So it seems to me that any business that's been closed and is opening up, they should be asking the COVID questions, and they should be providing a way to keep everybody safe. So, and I don't know, you know, I don't work in a salon, so I don't know how that would work, but it seems as though, you know, somebody getting their hair cut could certainly wear a mask, and the person cutting their hair could certainly wear a mask. And, you know, the temperature should be measured. And if somebody's, you know, if somebody has gone to, just got back from New York City, which, of course, hopefully they wouldn't have, but if somebody's come back from a hotspot, or if they've had a fever in the last week, or been exposed to somebody who's been sick, then they don't get their hair cut that day. You know what I mean? So just putting
right.
into place things that are already done by other, that have already been done by other businesses and seem to be effective. We only have had one child who's been affected at Cincinnati Children. There's been adult employees that have been affected, but really not that many. So it's just different, you know, and knowing what the incidence is in your area. I mean, that's a huge thing. You know, if there's not much infection in your area, that's a wonderful thing and should be reassuring.
Yes. Could you go over the COVID questions that they may ask just so people might know, if you know them?
So one of them is if you've had, if you've been sick with a fever, in the last, I can't remember if it's the last week or two, they would be easy enough to look up online. If you've had a headache, cough, if you've had a symptom of you can't smell, because that's a recent symptom that was learned about. The fever, headache, muscle aches, like myalgias, like people get when they have the flu, and then no smell, and then cough and fever. Those are the main questions. And then the other questions that could be asked is if you've been to New York City recently or Detroit or I think there's somebody in New Jersey. I think there's another one. So whatever, you know, the tributes change from day to day, so that's probably part of why they're not part of the question. Or if you've been around anybody who's been potentially exposed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Does anyone else have any questions they want to ask?
Karen, this is, this is Julie. I have a 27-year-old daughter with TS, and she has anxiety, and I'm just wondering if you have any tips on, you know, how others can support people that are really struggling with anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I guess just making sure that they know that you're there for them. But you're right, you can't force her to do something that she's not ready to do, as far as getting treatment. So just being supportive of her. And then making her aware that, I mean, I don't know if she knows about TAN. I think a lot of people are relieved. People with TS, when we tell them, you know, where they will say, well, gosh, you know, I have this problem where I get agitated every once in a while. And then we tell them that, oh, well, it's probably part of your TS. And they're just looking at you like, really? Are you serious? And it's just like such a relief. They feel like, you know, like maybe they felt like they were a failure or whatever because they couldn't manage their emotions well enough or as well as they thought they should have been able to. And then to know that, well, it's probably part of your genetic condition. It's just a relief. And then they want to know, okay, well, what kinds of things can we do about it? So making sure that she's aware of TAN. But ultimately, she has to be the one to decide if she wants to get treatment.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that.
Any other questions?
Sure. So what are some ideas that you have or strategies for the people that are, you know, even if they are adults like Julie has, or different things that, what are just some different things people can do while at home or different things we could do with our children or the adults, you know, like I know you said structure, but do you have any, like, ideas that we could do for us to just help them, like, manage things better without giving them overwhelmed? Because I know, like, for me, it's just hard because sometimes I get into funks, not as many as I used to, but I want to isolate myself in my room for, like, 2 hours because sometimes it's just too much. And, like, yesterday, Rain and I had, like, a thing, and it ended up taking up my whole day, like, mentally. So what are just some different things? I mean, if you can't go outside, if it's raining, if it's different things, like, you suggest maybe that could help us together, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's, you know, somebody gets so overwhelmed that they have to go away and be by themselves for a while. That's excellent to be able to recognize that. Wow, I'm about ready to short circuit. I need to pull away. That's a really, really good thing. But then you want to be able to come back and move forward, right? You don't want to get stuck on what's happened in the past. You want to be able to look forward. So, and that can be, so the whole point of behavior cognitive therapy is that it's training your brain, you know, when we get stuck on a negative thought or when we get stuck on, you know, whatever happened 2 hours ago, it's training your brain to move off of that. So it's practicing having a positive thought, like right there available to you to exchange that negative thought for. And that positive thought could be, you know, how beautiful Rain was when she was born, or, you know, it could be, you know, whatever. One of my positive thoughts is the day that my son got married. And then you change over to that, and it'll just automatically make you feel better. Music is another thing that can be very therapeutic. I don't know if anybody else has found that, but listening to music or even playing an instrument can be therapeutic, calling a friend on the phone, you know, again, exercising, just distracting yourself from whatever's bothering you.
Can I add something? What has helped my husband and I is meditation, like guided meditation. And, you know, he could only sit for 15 minutes. So I do half an hour, he does 15 minutes. So that has helped because drawing and coloring, I mean, I never thought I would do it, but I've been doing it since we're at home because I make schedule and stuff. So that has helped. So maybe trying that.
That's great. So along with that, and we haven't discussed it, is yoga. So that's a whole other, so that's a form of exercise that is the purpose of it is not to really, it's as much clearing your head when you're in your yoga class, so you can clear your head the next day when you're upset about something. You can get that, you know, upset feeling out of your head. So again, yoga, like when you meditate, you're practicing at that time when you're doing your little session, so you can do it at another time when you need to, right? So that's the same thing with yoga or behavior cognitive therapy, where you're practicing in a session so you can exercise that new skill that you have at another time when you're upset about something or anxious about something. Or yeah, I think that's great.
Guided meditation really helps because they tell you all this. Like, you know, yes, you have problems. Yes, you have negative thoughts, but it's okay. You know, let's focus on this. You know, let's focus on good things in life and stuff like that.
Right, and we all have so many good things. And
right.
But, you know, it's kind of our human nature to sometimes focus on the bad stuff. I don't know why we do that, but, yeah. So that I'm so glad you found somebody to help with that and that it's helpful to you.
Yeah.
I also, our 19-year-old daughter who has ADHD and the TSC, she really focuses a lot more when she's sketching or even singing. She does so much better work when she is actually, like, I guess, tricking her mind or singing to herself, and that kind of focuses her so she can, her art really does calm her down. She sketches, and it's like a day thing where she draws for a day, and it just really settles her down. So it's really therapeutic for her.
That's really awesome. But for her, but she, that you've allowed her to pursue that skill. And that's really
With us, distant teaching our kids through the computers, we have two other TSC warriors that are 13 and 16, and they're constantly on schoolwork and Zoom. We have to have something for her to do in the other room. And yesterday was like one of the best days because she just drew all day long, and it focused her, and we were focused on the boys, and it worked really well. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, I guess that's a big thing is to identify what calms you. So in her, it's drawing and singing, and in other people, it's meditating or, you know, be exercising, just, you know, it could be golfing, it could be cleaning the house, I don't know, it could be whatever, and just go to that activity if you can. Or your positive thought when you're being challenged.
Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah. Any other questions? Or thoughts?
I know that Linda's like to dance and likes to color. And then I usually, if we have like a little set, like she'll write them all do letter or like come back to it. And then we'll talk about it. Yesterday, she was like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And I'm like, all right, let's just hug and count to 10. You know, like sometimes those kinds of things help. But I got to remind myself that too, a lot of breathing. I do listen to podcasts, like positive things, try to like when I'm getting ready. So I know a lot of those things have really helped. But you're right. You have to like change that negative into a positive. And it really does end up changing your mindset a lot. Like after you do it enough.
That sounds
good. Yeah, and I the other day I just heard about drum therapy, and I never heard of that before. So I know I've heard of music therapy, but it's banging on a drum.
Horse therapy.
Horse therapy.
We just have to expose ourselves and our kids to different things because you never know what will be the thing for you unless you're exposed to it, right?
Right.
I think the yoga was a great idea. I remember the first time I did that, I like cried and I didn't know why I was crying. But you're holding so many emotions you don't even realize. And, you know, when you have TSD or you're living with people with TSD, you go through this trauma that you just walk out and you don't even realize you're going through it. So it's gone. Like, it's just, it's so weird that separation anxiety you get, that, you know, closeness you get, but when it's not there, like, you don't know what you're supposed to do. And it's just a lot of, like, time management and self-empowering, and you have to really, like, really feed your mind with positive stuff, I feel like, especially during the quarantine and being stuck in the home, having that, like, outward, you know, closeness, you know, for me, like, seeing tons of clients or people, and then you're just, like, cut off, it's really hard to be isolated like that. I'm sure it is for a lot of people, you know, like, teachers and different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss everyone, that's for sure.
Does anyone else have any more questions or want to talk about something that maybe helped you?
I have another question. With us, once again, being stuck at home and not really being able to go out and actually experience some of these therapies and try them out, do you have some resources or websites or... I don't know, even blogs or books that you recommend for us to kind of read at home where it can give us some added strategies or help us, like, try out, I don't know, some. I know so much online now where, you know, I'm a teacher, so we do tours of zoo park. Like, we do a lot of interactive tours online. Do you have stuff for, like, calming or strategies or websites that you could probably use if, for, like, music therapy or, I don't know, like, watching the horses or getting to kind of experience that?
Mm-hmm.
Just curious.
I have to say, I don't really have any specific websites or anything like that. So I guess we're talking about virtual, you know, since we can't go out to a farm and touch a horse or be by a horse, we're talking about virtual things. And then I don't know if we're so, I mean, I could get you website information. I could talk with our psychiatrist, but I guess I'm not exactly sure.
I was just curious if you had, like, stuff that you would recommend. Because, like, I know my son, he goes to a school for severe disabilities, and, like, they did a tour of the Smithsonian today, and just looking at the zoo.
Smithsonian Zoo.
And the animals. So that's calming for him because he likes animals.
Uh-huh.
So I just didn't know maybe if you had other suggestions. But I know there's a lot. There's so much out there right now.
So yeah.
The world's going digital. But no, I was just, no, you don't need to do anything extra. I was just curious if you had any off the top of your head that you recommended.
Yeah. See, I think parents, so I don't know, I'm older and being on a computer, I don't like it. Like, I would rather be not on a computer. I would rather be in an exam room talking with a patient or. So that's not comforting to me, but yeah, I mean, that's all we have right now. So it's good that if somebody can enjoy things that way.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Because our 16-year-old, he's very autistic, doesn't show his emotions very well. Today he was on the Smithsonian Park Zoo watching a lion turn his head, and it was just excited. And every time he said something, the lion turned his head again. And he's like, and then the teacher's like, "Is that you telling him stuff, Jake? Talk a little louder. Talk a little louder." So they're like, you know, making it fun for him, and he's excited because he wants to go to the zoo. So.
That is very cool. I have to say, technology for kids today is such a helpful thing, in that children, you know, can come to clinic and they have an iPad to occupy themselves with when, you know, the parents and the provider are talking. I just think it's awesome. And then, you know, being able to communicate with them and enjoy them, and it's very, very cool. I'm glad you had a great day.
Yeah, thank you. We got about 5 minutes. Any other questions or comments? Mm-hmm. Got it, Brooke?
I just before we wrap it up, first of all, thank you so much for being here and for all of your great advice and the statistics and information. That was amazing. I do want to say that we have our next adult call is May 14th. It's same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific. And that topic's a good one. It's an environmental health. So spring cleaning of your mind. So that should be very interesting with Judith Schulach. I don't know if I said that right. CEO of Relativity Speaking. So that will be another really good call. Brooke, were you able to come back? If not, I'll go ahead and wrap up. So Karen, thank you. Thank you again for being here for our community and for taking the time to talk to us and give us your knowledge. It was an incredible speak, and a lot of people are going to benefit. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It was my honor, and you all were a great group, and I'm glad we kind of brainstormed, and hopefully we helped each other.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much. Oh, and one more thing, Rob was just telling me I should probably mention, May 15th is TSC Awareness Day, so just thinking of that in the head. You'll be seeing a lot on social media.
Yeah. Facebook, Instagram, you'll see a lot of stuff coming out from the TS Alliance, working our way up to the May 15th day. So.
And our call is May 14th, the day right before. So thank you so much. It's great hearing everybody, and for all the input and advice. And we will see you guys in May. Or hear you guys in May, I guess. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night. Thank you again,
Bye.
Karen.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for calling.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.